Beautiful people. I had planned to take a hiatus from podcasting. The schedule is a little bit packed. You all know how much I love doing this, and I miss you so much. And I want to say thank you for being patient with me. I really appreciate it. I hope each and every one of you who is listening is well and your families are well. I just had it all, so I was about to go to bed. I was like, I can't. I got to be a podcaster because I got to talk about this. So, you know what I'm going to talk about. This is about the Sean Combs situation. And every time I do a podcast, I try to not focus on just, you know, what has happened, because it's really not about that. For bad thought therapy, it's all about what are the lessons we can extract from this situation and how can we learn from it? How can we some kind of way empower ourselves or inspire ourselves to do better as a result of what we're seeing? There are many ways to learn. And one of the ways to learn is to learn through observation. You don't have to experience every single thing to learn. While that may be good for some things, sometimes the best way to learn is through observation. And with this situation with Mr. Combs, looking, you know, I don't know him, and I know most people don't know him personally. Looking at and through the window, it does not look good, and there's some life lessons I want to talk about. And I'm not going to be long because I got to go to bed, I got to get up to go to work. My full-time job is as an educator. So peace and abundant blessings. Don't forget, you can email me at badthoughttherapy@gmail.com if you have a question, comment. There's so much to talk about. Woo, there's been so much that's happened since I did my last episode. But the Sean Combs thing, this new lawsuit that he has, is really, really, really damaging. And again, I'm talking about it secondhand news. I'm not, you know, not in the inner circle. Don't want to be. Don't know much about Mr. Combs. Never really listened to the music. Of course, I cannot be in the world and I live with my eyes wide open and not know who he is. I just know that he's a big deal in the music industry and the entertainment industry. And now there has been so many lawsuits against him. This last one involves a lot of serious allegations. I think there's allegation of drug trafficking, sex trafficking, violence, just so many negative things. And, you know, I was talking to my students about something. We were reading a new novel in one of my classes, and I gave them a little activity where they had to have, you know, pull a word, or I gave them a word, and they had to kind of just say whatever they wanted to, just speak ad libitum about that word. And one young lady pulled money. That was the word that she had. And when she was talking about money, she said, yeah, I heard that money is the root of all evil and you need it. And, you know, she was saying how people get so focused on it because you need it if you don't have enough, blah, blah, blah. It was a very, you know, for a 12th grade, I thought it was pretty good explanation of things. But I corrected her that it's not money, but it is the love of money that is the root of all evil, the love of money. And there are people who would do absolutely anything and everything for this stuff called money. One of my favorite quotes is by P.T. Barnum, and it is, money is an excellent servant, but a terrible master. Money is an excellent servant, but a terrible master. And I'm talking about money because at the heart of this, whether we are looking at it or not, it's about money. It's about the relationship that people have with it. Money can allow people to do great good in the world, and money can also deceive people into thinking that they can do anything and everything. And they can buy things that are destructive in the end. Sex, drugs, all kinds of other evil things. And that's what this is really about. It's about people wanting money to the point that they will lose their moral compass if they, you know, even had one in the first place. They'll lose their way and they'll compromise their value systems. They will, like I said, do absolutely anything, and they will lose their souls. Another quote, probably the most powerful quote, what does it profit a man? Jesus Christ is recorded as saying by one of the biographers, I believe this is Matthew's, the book of Matthew, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? And I can tell you, you know, all of these different articles about P. Diddy, and most of them focused on the sex trafficking and this, you know, sex trafficking of young girls and all these things. I was just reflecting on how many men would lose everything because of sex. And that's another life lesson. I don't know what to tell a man or what to tell young boys before they become men. I don't know what to tell them, but I can say this. If you live a life where you are fixated on sex, you can never, ever, in the end, it's not going to end well. The outcome is always going to be devastating. I just don't know what it is. I don't know why so many men struggle with this and sexual deviation, but it is a problem. And I don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Is it the porn that comes first, or does that inspire people, or is it already in people? I don't know. But the life lesson here, number one life lesson is that we must keep money in the right place. It is a great tool. It is a great servant. But we have to not let it be a master. We can't let our fixation on money consume us. Yes, we need it. And it all comes from understanding that nothing is more valuable than your soul. And that's a life lesson. Now, Sean Combs, and I know this is going to be real, real hard for some people to hear. Sean Combs is alive. And I doubt seriously if he's going to own up, because he's already denied that he's done any of the evil things that people allege that he has done. But the thing about when you do evil, because if you do it and you don't stop, one thing about God, I've said this many, many times, God really is a God of grace. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to suffer because of sin. And he gives us chances to turn before that final destruction. And you probably remember the story, the biblical story, which is really powerful, Samson and Delilah, where God was trying to just get Samson not to give in again, the sex again, give in and just lose everything because of sex. And in the end, he did. But at the very end, and God gave him grace and grace and grace, and at some point, there's this point, I don't know what it is, but there's this misuse of grace to the point where you just no longer have it, you know. And God still loves us, because God still loves Samson, because at the very end of his life, after he had been stripped of his power and his freedom and his eyesight and all those things, God still heard Samson's cry and gave him a chance to destroy his enemies, and he was destroyed in that process. But there's something about sex, there's something about it that and I guess some people need it more than, or think about it more than others, but I can tell you, if a man just gets fixated on sex from sun up to sundown, and I'm telling you not what I think, I'm telling you what I know, they cannot be productive, and they're not safe to be around anybody, because you don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, I always talk about my daughter. I always warn her, like, you know, you never know who you're around, and you don't want to be with somebody and you're in your house and there's this raid because they've done something sick or perverted. And, you know, and this, like, what I always talk about, like, you got to be so careful, because you could be with people like that. They could have things and you don't even know it. Or you know it and you tolerate it, but you have to let it go. So the life lesson is this. Ask God to heal you. If you're a person and you seem to not be able to focus on anything else but sex. Ask God to heal you, because if you don't, the outcome in the end is always going to be bad. I know there are men who, you know, they'll do a lot of talk about God and religion and Jesus and this and that, but when it comes to sex, that's when all that goes out the window. They will kick God out of their bedroom. They will kick Jesus out of the bedroom. They'll let them back in when they finish doing their evil. But you really have to ask God for healing. There is some, it is a spiritual thing. And it is, anytime something controls you to the point where you lose your way and there is no limit to the sick things that you will do, it is a disease, it is the enemy, and you have to pray for healing. Nobody can get that demon off you but Jesus. You have to go to God. And you have to pray for healing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You have to pray for healing. And that's the first thing you have to do, and that's a life lesson, because I've seen it over and over and over again where men will get into trouble, lose absolutely everything. Their freedom, their minds, their health, all because of sex. And we can live without sex. It is something that I believe we were designed the way God originally made us to have. But I am convinced, because of how the outcome is so bad, that God did not convince us, that God did not make us have all these different multiple partners. And because they create so many problems for human beings, I don't know of a single person that is involved in multiple relationships and anything good has come out of it, or where they have multiple sex partners. There's nothing good going to come out of it. So only thing I can advise, because this is not one of my struggles. I know God is real, and I know what God can do, and God can heal you. And you have to ask God to heal you. You have to rebuke that demon. And I'm convinced that people, I've talked about this on this podcast before, if they would just get with one righteous person and they will commit to loving that person and really doing what we're supposed to do, become as one and be concerned about that person, and share their lives with that person, and not just focus on sharing the sexual experience with that person, I'm convinced that that's when people will be happier. They will live longer. They will have more. They will have more peace. They will have less all kinds of problems. Because anytime you have multiple sex partners, more than one sex partner, you're going to have, it's going to be some kind of issue, whether it's an unwanted pregnancy, whether it is a disease, whether it is people cannot handle that emotionally because we're not wired to handle that. And you can't convince anybody to handle that. Most people are wired to want to be exclusive and monogamous. So, you know, I'm all for if a group of people want to go for it and they want, that's their thing, they're consenting adults. But that's not usually the case. Most people are not wired to be able to handle that. So it's going to cause a whole lot of problems. And I'm telling you, I know a person, and from the time they woke up in the morning until the time they went to bed, all they thought was sex. That's all they wanted to do is watch porn. They could have been a millionaire. I'm talking about a multi-millionaire, legitimately. But their focus was not on being productive or honoring God or loving another human being. They couldn't even love another human being. They want to have sex with other people, men and women, but they could. And so I've seen that up close and personal, and it is so sad. But anybody who's listening, you can be free. You can be free. I'm convinced I can say it because I know my Lord and Savior, and you need to pray for healing. And you need to let that go. And you need to pray for God to show you, to find, help you find a righteous person that you can share your life with. And if you would do that, and you would be grateful, and you would be loving, and you would be unselfish, and focus on somebody other than yourself, and focus on loving that woman, or loving the children, or loving that person, let me tell you what happened. your life will get better. That's the life lesson from this. Sean Combs, it looks like he's going to be like another Jeffrey Epstein. That's what it looks like now. And he might be able to get through this. I don't know where he is spiritually. I know that sometimes we can't make peace with people and the law. But here's the good news. We can make peace with the Lord. Is all is well if our soul is well. And if we sin and if we do evil, and this is what I believe. I know some people don't like this, but I believe this. If we get right with God, then all is well. We may not ever be able to reconcile with people. He may have lost his reputation, his money, or whatever. But if he is right with the Lord, all is well. If your soul is with God, you are well. So that's all that matters. That's a powerful life lesson. Many men, I hope that they are seeing all this darkness. There's so much sexual perversion and darkness and deviation out there. And most men that I know, they're not trying to resist it. They're just trying to lean into it. It's like, let's go scuba diving in it. And in the end, God has given them so many gifts and so much potential, and they could be doing so many more positive things, but they're just not going to be able to do it because there's this fixation. I got to do another episode on that. The other life lesson that I started talking about earlier is money. We have to put money in. Most people that I know need money. So you need money, and you because everything costs. It costs to live in a house. It costs to drive a car, car insurance, lights, all of those things. It goes without saying. But there's a point when you have more than what you need, and you have this excess money so that you can just use it to do all manner of evil. And in the end, it's a trick. It's like, you're offered this. My mother said something years ago, jumping around, but she said something, and it made me think. I just kept thinking about it. She was saying, we were talking about a particular minister, and she made a comment, and she said, God, the devil gives some people money. And I thought about that. I said, really? Because I'm thinking, well, nothing can happen without God's approval, right? So I just kept thinking about it because I didn't deny it. I didn't say, no, that's not true. It was just, we were trying to figure out, okay, this person is not even teaching the word. He's not a teacher, not drawing anybody closer to God. Everything is drawn closer to him. Everything is about money. So we were trying to figure out, well, he has so much money. Like, what is it? I do believe that there's something to that, that God blesses, but the enemy can give people money. God blesses you, and when you're blessed, that's when you get your money by honest means, and it may not necessarily be work, but most of the time it is, and God will protect that money, and he will bless that money, and he will multiply that money, and there's something to that, whereas you can be given money by the enemy. And it's all for self-destruction. But in the end, you lose everything, including your soul. And money, this is the thing about money. It's a trick because it can only buy so much. Money can allow you to pay for a doctor, allow you to go to the hospital, but it can't. You can't buy healing. Money can allow you to live in a nice house and maybe have a nice car and material things, but money really cannot make a person love you. They may love your money and be around you because of the money. So money is limited, and I think we just have to put money in its right place. And I think when you get money and it's not from God, it's not a blessing from God, and you're getting money because you're doing evil, in the end, it's really not worth it. That means that you are poor. You're in a poverty state mentally and spiritually, and it's not worth it. It's simply just not worth it. So I just want to say that those are the life lessons. We need it, and we have to pray for God to bless us with money and with the wisdom to use money and to honor him. The one thing I've learned in life is doing right is not always easy. When I was younger, we would go to church and they'd be telling you what to do, but nobody was really teaching you, well, how do you do this? How do you deal with temptation? How do you stay strong and all of that? Nobody was teaching you how. So I get it. It's hard sometimes for people to do the right thing, to have the right thoughts. That's why I do bad thought therapy. But what we can do more than anything else, and one of the most important things we can do, we can ask God to help us and heal us. And I'm a witness that he will. We have to pray for God to help us and heal us. And what will happen is God will allow you to see things for what it is. Like, it's a trick. You know, I used to use this analogy with my students. You know, we see these vampire movies, and most of the time the vampire is not walking around with yellow eyes and blood dripping from its mouth. Because if he walked around like that, you'd run away and he'd make it a little bit more difficult for him to get to you. It's all deception. It's looking great, but behind that person, what's inside of that, you open that door, is nothing but pain and suffering. And while initially there may be some pleasure, just sheer carnal pleasure, in the end you lose. I'm telling you, it's a trick. It's a trick of the enemy. And that's the life lesson. And so if you're not a Sean Combs, but you're into some dark and perverted stuff, ask God to heal you. You lost everything. You lost the things that matter. You may have your life, but you don't have anybody that loves you. You don't have your family because you didn't care about anybody but yourself and your carnal desires, that you never invested in having a relationship with anybody else. And it's so sad. Get healing and ask God to restore. Heal, get healing, get help, and then ask God to restore, and then repent. Repent when God opens up the door for a new relationship and another chance, then you can do the right thing. And that's the beauty of the Most High God. That's the beauty of it. And I know I'm idealistic, yes, and I do believe that God is a healer. And I believe he wants us to live. And I believe that he wants us to have peace. And everything we have, if it comes from him, if it's a blessing, it will not destroy us. But when it's coming, that money that P. Diddy got, it didn't come. Some of that didn't come from God. Some that came from the enemy. And now I saw an image of him, you know, these camera people and reporters and journalists, they stalk these people. And I don't know what some people's fascination, I'm talking about the man, so I'm a part of the fray, Lord. But they were stalking him and they had a picture of him wandering around, sort of like looking kind of sad at an airport. And what this particular news station reported, that somebody that was in his little circle had been arrested on drug charges. And in the lawsuit, the last lawsuit that P. Diddy has been filed against him, this same guy was mentioned as a drug mule, as somebody that basically got the drugs for P. Diddy. So it's a sad case. I hate this. Maybe P. Diddy started off with good intentions. Maybe he had a good heart at some point. He lost his way. And that's what I want to end with. It's so easy to get lost. It's so easy to get distracted with work, with trying to complete these little goals or whatever. But in the end of the day, there is nothing. There is nothing more important than our relationship with God. Our relationship with him must be first. It must be the nucleus of our lives. He must be our center. And we must have a spiritual mindset where our minds are on the Lord. The gratitude that we have for our lives and everything that he has done. No matter what you're going through, you can always find something so beautiful to be grateful for in your life. Recently, I was telling my daughter, I was dealing with something. I was like, well, at least I got, you know, this and that, this situation. You have to find the gratitude. You have to find peace sometimes in the most simple things, because your life will never be perfect. It will never be perfect. And that's just, for whatever the reason, the way God designed it. God does not change life. He changes us. And you have to keep him first. And you have to understand, in the end, our soul belongs to the Most High God. And we cannot take our next breath without him. We can't breathe. We can't live without the power of the Most High God. We owe everything to him. Everything we have really and truly belongs to God. And that is why we have to stay focused on him from the time we get up and from the time we go to bed. Instead of all of this carnal perversion, it's just sick. And if it goes back to something that I've taught this for a long time, what you put in is what's going to come out. You can't, it's just like, you know, I drink water all the time, and I have these water bottles, and I show my students, when I hold up that water bottle and I ask them what's in it, you know, it's water. So the only thing that can come out is water. If you don't put righteousness in you, if you don't listen to it, if you don't watch it, if you're not around it, it's not going to come out. It's not going to come out in your behavior. And that's why I said it's just so sad, because I've seen a man just feed himself from sun up to sun down. And then when you ask the person, you know, read a book about fatherhood, oh, I don't want the voice of the author in my head. But they could watch porn from sun up to sun down. They worry about a speck on their toe. But every day their eyes will see filth and perversion. And then what it leads to, because you're going to act on whatever you put in, you're going to act on. Then they're out here sleeping with men and women and doing all kinds of perverted stuff. And listen, and disease and all kinds of problems. God can't get any glory out of that. There are no blessings from that. And if you don't fear God, I don't even know how. Like I said, I started off by saying, I don't even know how to help people. So if you don't fear God, you don't understand that your soul belongs to God, I don't care what you think, this is temporal, baby. This is temporal. I wish I could tell them. I wish I could tell people. It is nothing to play with. We are going to give an account. And if we're not, I wouldn't play with it. You don't know. I'm not playing with it. So I just want to tell people, that's a life lesson. Get right today. If you're struggling, ask God to help you. Ask God to heal your mind, heal your heart. I'm gonna have to do this a little bit longer. I'm going to stop this one. I'm going to add another episode to this. I want to thank you again for listening. I'm going to pray that God will heal you. Heal us. We all need healing. We all deal with something. You know, mine may be food. Somebody else may be something else, but we all dealing with something. But I'm going to keep believing that God will help us. I'm going to pause. I'm going to come back in just a few minutes. Beautiful people, I'm going to wrap this up because, honey, I'm supposed to be in bed getting some sleep so that I can be on time tomorrow. But I just want to emphasize that you have nothing to lose by praying and asking God to help you, to heal you, so that you can make better choices for yourself and the people around you. Whatever demon or dark spirit or whatever is influencing you, you can become unchained and unbound with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I just want to encourage you, because again, it's not about you know, talking about Sean Combs is about the lessons that we can learn from his life. So many men would be in the same situation as Mr. Combs if they could, if they had the money. So many men are losing every single thing, their souls, their families, their children, their material possessions, because of this obsession with sex and money and perversion. And I just want to encourage people to resist. Don't lean into it. Don't give into it. No one, the enemy will never stop putting stuff in front of you that can get you in trouble. That's never going to stop. So there's always going to be these perverted things or carnal things. It's just always going to be out there. And we have to make up our minds that we're going to live for God. We're going to die for God, because in the end, everything belongs to Him. We can't breathe without Him. Without His permission, we can't breathe. And God is a God of love and a God of grace and a God of long suffering. And we don't want to misuse our grace. If you haven't lost everything, you just haven't hit rock bottom, cry out to God. Cry out to God and ask Him to help you. Because what He'll do is, He will get your mind right. Your thoughts will start to change. You'll start to see evil for evil. You'll start to see filth for filth. And when you have the heart and mind of God, you're repulsed by filth. Stuff may pop up. You may see something. Somebody may try to influence you. But you see it for what it is. You see it for the darkness that it really is. No matter how it's decorated. No matter how the outside looks. So you just have to, you have to resist. You have to pray. And we have to get this money thing. We've got issues about money, because that's a part of this too. This obsession, wanting to be rich, wanting to be powerful. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned is that we can't just pray for God to bless us with money, but we have to pray for the strength and the wisdom to do the right thing with the money and to honor Him with our money. And again, going back to that quote by P.T. Barnum, money is a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. If you let it control you and you get fixated on it and you're not grateful, and most people, they want it just so they can just fulfill all the fleshly desires. Remember asking a person, and this was a life-changing moment for me. The person didn't know it. I asked this person, what would they do if they won $1 million? And I listened to them, and most of everything they said was feeding some kind of fleshly desire. It wasn't like I would love to be able to build a school, or I'd love to be able to build some housing that's affordable. I was nowhere in that vision. The child was nowhere in that vision. None of that. It was just all carnal. It was all what I could do to please myself. And at that moment, that was the moment when I knew. I said, okay, I see everything clearly now. That's a question that you should ask a person. Just catch them off guard. You know, you want them to be disarmed and just speak freely. And you'll learn a lot about a person. Now, some people could say what they're going to do and did not do it, but that person was speaking from his heart. And not one thing that he wanted to do with that money, it was all flesh. It was all, let me feed my flesh, let me do this, do that. So some people, you give them money and they would just kill themselves by all the evil that they would do if they could. And so that's what you want to just be so mindful of how easy it is to fall short. But with God's strength, you have to pray, you have to resist, you have to fight. I don't know why, you know, this evil comes. I'm not even going to try to get that deep. I just know that we do have the power to resist. And we invite God in, and we ask God to heal our minds and heal our hearts and help us to see things with His eyes, that's when you can really start to be repulsed by some of the filth. Some people, they just seem to love filth. They just eat it up and just waddle in it and get dirty with it. And they just love that. They love it. And they love it because their mind, I don't know if they have a reprobate mind, but many people do. And it's when their mind is just gone. And it's just been given over to the enemy because, you know, you can't say anything to them. You can't tell them anything. You can't try to help them. And they resent you for trying to help them. You know, they actually resent you. And so you just have to say, Lord, I've tried, and Lord, I let them go. So I just want to encourage you. Those are the life lessons, two major life lessons. Be mindful. Last but not least, and Cat Williams talked about this, everything in the dark is going to come out in the light at some point. It's going to come out. I used to teach my daughter, she was growing up, that people pay for the old and the new. But what it is that I used to tell her, you know, sometimes we all make mistakes. If we repent and we stop, we have a chance to auto-correct, self-correct, so that we don't have to hit rock bottom. We don't have to lose everything. We don't have to deal with the consequences and the outcomes of our bad choices if we will correct. And so that's a thing that we want to do. And I don't, you know, for Sean Combs, again, I know he's not going to admit he did it, but we have to at least admit it to God. We may not have. It's hard to admit things publicly. It's hard to just, it's rare you'll see a person say, you know what I did? I did whatever evil I did. They don't, most people are not going to say it. If you bring it up, they're just not going to have the memory of it, or they're going to trivialize it or minimize the effect of it and just plain old deny it. But we're not going to be able to do that to God. And that's why I just encourage people to make peace with God. Even if you don't make peace with the person or publicly, we have to make peace with God. Get into your spiritual closet and talk with Him. Turn off everything. Just focus on the Most High God because He's real. And again, we all are going to find that out, just how real He is. I'm convinced. And I'm not playing with it. You know, that quote, remember, y'all know I'm a former French teacher. And René Descartes, the French philosopher and mathematician, you know, there's a story that goes with it, but he said something like this: if I believe in God and I die and I find out I was wrong, I have lost nothing. But if I don't believe in God and I die and I find out I was wrong, I have lost everything. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. I'm telling you, don't play with it. One of my students that had these suicidal ideations, I've had some talks about some things. Let me tell you something. They starting to get right. They living. Not one of them. But we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if our pain's going on. I'm not playing with that. Don't play with yourself. Get right. And if you messed up, and there's still life in you, you never know how God can restore. He may allow you to have another relationship. You might have lost a relationship. He might restore it. You might not be able to have a relationship with the children that you never took care of. But then He may allow you to have another child and take care of that child and be the father that you never were with your other children. You know, so God is amazing, and He's a loving God, and He's a kind God. And just find that out for yourself. Go to Him. Well, I've gone over more than what I wanted to. It is time for me to get some sleep. I pray that you get some too. As you're watching these news stories, just remember it could be any of us. And just remember that we need to get the life lesson. Learn through observation. Learn, you know, and pray for that brother. Pray for the people involved, the victims, everybody. We can't do it without Jesus, period. We cannot do without Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus is real, and you cannot live this life without Him and have peace and have real joy and focus on the right things. And man would twist your mind. That's another thing. Just like, you know, you're thinking about Sean Combs and other men, and just their minds are just so twisted about life, and it hurts. It hurts to see. But we just have to keep praying, beautiful people. Well, peace and abundant blessings today and always. Take care. I'm Sheree Hardy, and this was Bad Thought Therapy. Take care.